Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and upholds my cause. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame, who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will see her downfall. Even now she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets. The day for building your walls will come, the day for extending your boundaries. In that day, people will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, even from Egypt to the Euphrates, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. The earth will become desolate because of its inhabitants, as the result of their deeds. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in days of long ago. As in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed. Deprived of all their power, they will put their hands over their mouths and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God and will be afraid of you. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago.
What is God like? How does God choose to reveal his glory? We could say, quite correctly, God is love. God reveals himself as love. We could say God is holy. God reveals himself in his moral perfection. We could say God is just. God reveals himself in punishing sin. In all of these things, and in other ways, God reveals his glory. But today, we focus on a very precious truth. God reveals his glory by pardoning sin. God could have said, "I am holy. I will not stand any moral imperfection." And yet today, we see he pardons sin. Christians have rejoiced in this truth through the generations. My mother wrote the life story of Neil Harvey. Neil was a drug dealer. He met with Christ. He was transformed. He's now a Christian minister. God pardons sin. God pardoned Neil. God pardoned me. We could go around this room and see how God has pardoned so many of us. How can he pardon sin and yet remain morally just and pure? Why is it just to pardon a drug dealer like Neil Harvey? The answer, of course, is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God enters the world and bears our sin. He takes the wrath of God, the righteous anger of God at our sin, and drinks that cup to the dregs. And that means, because God's wrath is satisfied, God can both be just and be the God who pardons sin. This was a very precious truth for God's people in the time of Micah. Israel is under the judgment of God, but Micah understands that God can pardon sin. Aren't you glad God is a pardoning God? I expect you fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if you've been here any length of time, I hope you know God loves you. And in Christ, he's pardoned all your sin, past, present, and future. Judah and Israel are under the judgment of God. Israel has been divided into these two kingdoms. They will be oppressed by the Assyrians. The Assyrians will overrun Israel in 722 BC. Judah will successfully withstand an Assyrian siege in 701 BC. But they are both under the judgment of God. Eventually, Judah will be destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC. God uses the Assyrians and the Babylonians as his instruments of judgment against his sinful people. God is in complete control of the events of history. He provokes the Assyrians and the Babylonians to attack. He's in complete control. He will decide when their power comes to an end. And he holds them both accountable for their sin. God also judges the Assyrians and the Babylonians and vindicates his people, the believing remnant. So Micah is the story of mourning and hope. The mountain of the Lord will be established as the highest of the mountains. In other words, God will be seen as the one true God. There will be a promised ruler from Bethlehem. Now, who's that? It's talking about Jesus. He is God's promised rescuer king. So Israel is guilty of great sin. She's adopted the pagan practices of the nations around her. But God the judge is also God the savior. He is a pardoning God. I have two headings today on your sheets, on the screen. Israel will rise because God is her savior. Israel will rise, verses 8 to 13. Israel is in great darkness, in verse 8, moral and spiritual darkness. There is no one upright left in the land, in verse 2. There is corruption. There is no fruit on the vine. The vine is a picture of Israel. She should be fruitful for God, but she is not. Relationships have broken down in verse 5. You can't trust people in Judah's society. But, verse 7, as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Here is the believing remnant. The remnant is that small part of God's people who still believe in him. Here's the believing remnant, watching in hope for the Lord, waiting for God to save, because God is her savior. Israel will rise once again. Verse 8, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. That's fantastic. They will rise. Though there is moral and spiritual darkness, God will be their light. I wonder, do you have this confidence this morning? Do you feel you've fallen into the darkness of sin? God says, you will rise if you're trusting in Christ. If he is your king, if he is your savior. See, God is just, verse 9. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. That's right. We are guilty before a holy God. We have broken his laws. That means there is only wrath for us, righteous anger. Accept that, verse 9b. Look at this. He pleads my case and upholds my cause. God comes down from the judge's bench and he advocates our case. He pleads our cause. What does he say? Well, we know from 1 John 2, verse 1. 1 John 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. It's Jesus Christ who fulfills this verse. He is our advocate. He stands before God the Father. And he says, Father, here is one for whom I died. Their sin is atoned for. Please acquit them, Father. Theologians argue that Jesus doesn't have to keep saying that millions of times over. His mere presence, his nail-marked body, speaks an eloquent word of defense. Yes, I will rise because the Lord is my light. Jesus pleads my case. He will bring me into the light, and I will see his righteousness. How wonderful! Think of the darkness of Micah's day. Think of the darkness of our day, moral darkness, abuse in all its forms, warfare, pain, suffering. He will bring me into the light. I will see his righteousness. What a day that will be, to leave behind the darkness, to see Jesus in all his righteousness, to worship him with that great multitude whom no one can count. Hallelujah. And the consequence for Israel and Judah is, verse 10, my enemy will see it and will be covered in shame. She who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her downfall. Even now, she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets. In 1992, I went on a ministry trip to the Czech Republic. We took some medical aid. We stayed with a hospital manager called Petr Jašek. Petr is the Czech for Peter. Petr Jašek is now a Christian aid worker and preacher. He's been working in Sudan, where he was arrested and sentenced to 24 years in prison for supposed espionage. He was held in solitary confinement for several months. You can now read Petr's story in Evangelical Now, in this month's edition. God vindicated Petr. He met a Christian pastor in prison, and together they did a remarkable work of preaching the gospel to Sudanese Muslim prisoners. On Christmas Day last year, Petr got to preach the gospel to 300 prisoners, having preached day in, day out for about 6 months. And now he's been released. The enemy of our souls conspired to have Petr imprisoned in Sudan. It was a terrible ordeal for Petr and for his family back home. But Petr saw the reality of verse 10. His enemy was covered with shame. What Satan intended for harm, God intended for good. The evangelization of all those prisoners in a Sudanese prison. Satan was symbolically trampled underfoot in Petr's ministry, just as in Micah's day. The Assyrians and Babylonians would eventually be defeated. They would be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets. There will be restoration for God's people, just as Petr has been restored to his family and former ministry. Verse 11, the day for building your walls will come, the day for extending your boundaries. This was partially fulfilled. You may know that under Ezra and Nehemiah, Judah was partially restored spiritually and physically. Ezra is the priest who leads the spiritual revival of the people. Nehemiah is the administrator who oversees the rebuilding of the city walls of Jerusalem. But have Israel's boundaries been extended? She's not recovered the boundaries she knew under Solomon. What does it mean that Israel will extend her boundaries? It means, of course, that the nation will grow through Christ. Through Christ, all the millions of Christians have been grafted into Israel, into the believing remnant of Israel. In that sense, verse 12 is true. People have come to Israel from Assyria, from Egypt to the Euphrates, from sea to sea, from mountain to mountain. In other words, God is grafting into Israel Christians from all around the world. God is building the church for the day when Christ will come again. And verse 13, the earth will become desolate. Christ will return. The earth will be desolate. God's judgment will be poured out. but the earth will be renewed in Christ. There will be a new creation. And that great multitude who've been grafted into Israel will rejoice. Israel will rise because God is her Saviour. Verse 14, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance. God is a faithful shepherd to his people. We know that the leaders of Israel, the shepherds of Israel, were false guides. God says in Ezekiel 34 verse 2, woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? And so God says that he himself will shepherd Israel. Micah foresees this day. He writes a bit before Ezekiel. Ezekiel ministers to God's people in exile in Babylon. Micah says, you shepherd your people, Lord. Bring them again to fertile pastures, to areas of great natural beauty, to Bashan and Gilead. God will shepherd his people. He will make them lie down in green pastures, in fertile pasture lands, in verse 14. And we know that Christ is our shepherd. God the Father is our shepherd. Christ is our shepherd. John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is God's answer to Micah's prayer. He will be our shepherd. He will graft us into Israel. He will enable us to feed in fertile pasture. In other words, we will feed on his word and be satisfied as the Holy Spirit opens the Bible to us. And verse 15, as in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them wonders. Remember the wonders God performed when he rescued his people from Egypt. There was the burning bush. There was Moses' staff that became a snake. Same thing happened to Aaron's staff. There were the plagues. There was the parting of the Red Sea and so on. God is saying, as in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them wonders. When did God do miracles comparable with Egypt? The answer is, in Jesus. The rescue of God's people from slavery in Egypt is a picture of what God is going to do in Jesus. We are rescued from slavery, not to Pharaoh, but to sin and death and hell. Christ came, and God performed wonders. He fed the 5,000 like Moses feeding in the wilderness. He raised Jesus from the dead to demonstrate that Jesus is God. He is God's Messiah, God's rescuer king. God did wonders when Christ came the first time. God will do wonders when Jesus returns. Verse 16, nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of all power. Assyria and Babylon would be deprived of all power as God judged them. Persia would replace Babylon as the regional superpower. But when Christ comes back, then nations will see and be ashamed. Ashamed of their sin. Deprived of all their power. The leaders of the nations will kneel before Jesus Christ. They will put their hands over their mouths and their ears will become deaf. They are horrified. No! Can't believe it. How terrible! It's a tragic picture. God's people, so general people confronted with the victory of God, and it's just a din to them. Their ears will become deaf. On the day of Christ's return, I want to have our mouths open in praise and our ears open to the triumph of Christ. But it won't be like that for God's enemies. Verse 17. They will lick the dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will share Satan's curse. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God and will be afraid of you. What a fearful picture. Trembling out of their dens, knowing that they face the judgment of God. Please don't end up as one of God's enemies. When all the time, look at verse 18. This is the God we worship. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? Here is how God reveals his glory to us. He is a pardoning God. He does not stay angry forever, but delights to show mercy. Can I ask you, do you know his mercy? See verse 19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our sins underfoot. He will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Think of the sins of this week. They're trampled under God's feet. They're hurled into the depths of the sea. We went in the sea nearly every day on holiday this year. The water was clean, but you couldn't see the bottom of it. You couldn't see the stones as you kind of made your way over the stony bit. Couldn't see them. How much more hidden are our sins? They're hurled into the middle of the sea. They'll never be seen again. God doesn't want us to be ashamed. God wants us to be free in Christ. It is Satan who wishes to remind us of forgiven sin. God says it's gone. It's hurled into the middle of the sea. And so verse 20, God will be faithful to us. God promised that he would be faithful to the patriarchs of Israel, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is faithful to us in Christ. Everything he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is ours in Christ. God will be faithful to us. God will love us. Israel will rise because God is her Savior. Will you rise today from the depths of your sin because Jesus Christ is your Savior? Will you live for him? Will you enjoy him for his glory? Amen.